Well, good morning, family. It finally got some winter temperatures out there, huh? It's cold out there today. I'm glad to be with you guys. It's tough to describe what it's like to speak in front of people if it's not something that you do normally. But I know for Robin, myself, Dave, Sammy, all those that come up before you guys, there's a great sense of humility in getting up in here. This morning I was affected just sitting there, and I brought up this passage because I feel like this morning, and I want you to hear this. This was Paul talking to the Corinthians. Totally didn't have this in my sermon notes, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, okay? He said this to the Corinthians. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I know that the way I speak is different than a lot of people, and maybe that type of presentation to you is not what you like, but I hope you don't look at me, right? I'm here to present. I know when Robin gets up here, when Dave gets up here, Sammy, we don't get up here for you to look at us. We get up here to make you look at him. And I hope that you hear those words and you hear the words that we speak, because anything that's bad that you hear from us that is not from his word, that's our fault. But when you hear a good word from us that's from his good word, that's from him. I hope you know that. So the last few weeks we've been digging into this idea of the kingdom of God, what it is, what it means. Why was it so important to Jesus that he spoke about that more than anything else? And more importantly, how are we to advance it? How are we to push it out there so that the world may know? So, to advance the kingdom, we must start, and we've talked about this, at the core of our beliefs. What do we believe? What do we believe? Why do we believe it? What's the motivation behind that sort of belief that we have? We came to recognize that our beliefs can be quite shallow, right? They can be shallow, self-focused. Instead, we want to be focusing on deepening our faith in God. Faith calls us to action. It's more than a nice concept or a good thought. It's something to push us. Faith is action. So we don't want shallow beliefs. We want deep faith. Then last week, we talked about putting that faith into action. How do we do that, right? Or our behaviors. How are we living out our faith so that God sees that we love him more than anything else? What's the motivation behind that faith? And what's the motivation behind our behaviors? We learn that our behaviors are often motivated too much so, by obligation and reward. I'm obligated to do this so that I can get the reward. Instead, our behavior should be motivated by faith. Why do we do what we do? Because, well, let's hope it's because we deeply love the one who first loved us. Amen? So we don't want shallow behaviors. We want deep, deep love. And this brought us to our transformation formula last week. Y'all remember that? All right, we can put it up here. Remember, transformation in Scripture means metamorphosis, okay? It means a metaphor. It's not simply making a few changes in your life. It's a complete transformation. Okay? It's being renewed each and every day of our life, unless we're quenching the Spirit from doing that within our lives. So I threw this up there. Here it was Keith Webb's formula, T equals D plus A plus R to the power of HS. Y'all remember that? That means transformation. What does it mean? Transformation equals discovery plus action plus reinforcement by the power of the Holy Spirit. And someone came up to me afterwards and goes, "Phil, we got to teach you math." This is not math. Just so you know that, okay? All right, it's just the idea that we're trying to understand, what does transformation mean in our lives? How does that look? Well, discovery is that coming to know what we believe, okay? It's the beliefs. Action is the evidence of that discovery, the evidence of our beliefs being lived out. It's the behaviors that we show. And they're not just those nice concepts we talked about. And then reinforcement, which I told you we'd talk about this week, is our becoming. It's our becoming. We become who we are as our beliefs and our behaviors shape us in the midst of the kingdom, in the midst of God's family and the world, even the world. Through our relationships with others, we will reinforce our beliefs and our behaviors. And they assist us in becoming who God created us to be. But all of this, all of that formula, has no chance of success unless it's powered by the Spirit. It has to be. All right? And like I said like this last week, we need the Spirit. Yes? And I have a feeling in this room, many of you grew up like I did in congregations where the Spirit was rarely talked about. To our detriment, the Spirit is what Jesus left us. And it's this presence of God in us. Why would we not talk about it? And why would we not activate the Spirit within us? Man, that's our fault. Amen? Woo. We need to let them loose, let them change us from the inside out. The only thing getting in the way of the Spirit being activated in your life is you. Okay? So, based on all of that, Robin and my, more of our formula would be looking like this. It's more beliefs plus behaviors plus becomings by the power of the Holy Spirit equals transformation. So we begin today with the assumption, we're assuming, and sometimes that can get you in trouble, right? We're assuming that every person sitting in this room has the desire for transformation, that you want it. We assume you're here because you want to be a disciple of Christ and want to live for Him every day of your life. So with that assumption, I want to talk about this idea of becoming. What do I mean? What do we mean by becoming? Well, just in case you didn't know, all of us in this room are in a state of becoming. Every one of us. You can't escape it. It's like our caterpillar to the butterfly analogy last week, right? Through our lives, we are growing through a metamorphosis, and we're becoming something. What it is that you're becoming is up to you. It's by the choices that you make in who you become. Now, what are we becoming has a lot of influences. Everything that we see, hear, touch, taste, feel, all of those things, those experiences around us, they are a part of our becoming. Our experiences through school, work, play, you name it, all of those have part in that. But most of all, our relationships have a profound effect on our becoming. Whom we choose to surround ourselves with dramatically influences our becoming. That's why Jesus came to us in the flesh. He didn't speak off from heaven a word. He came and He lived among us. He knew that through relationship, He would be able to influence our choices in who we want to become. He knew that through followers in His kingdom, He would be able to shape lives so that people could become what His Father created them to be. And that's why He uses us to speak into others' lives to help and assist in their becoming. He knew that only through love would a person be shaped. In Mark 1, Jesus is going around and He's stopping from place to place and He's beginning to call His disciples together. And He comes to the place where Peter and John are. Peter and Andrew, I'm sorry. And He finds them, what are they doing, by the way? Fishing. All right, they're out fishing. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Y'all heard that before? Have you heard it said just like I said it? That's probably the most often quoted way that's phrased, and it is absolutely wrong. Do you know what it says? Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. There is a very specific Greek word in there. It's not just, I will make you fishers of men. I will, you're not a disciple, and now you're a disciple. Plop, everything's done. It's, I'm going to make you become one. You see, Jesus knew that the idea of transformation, the idea of becoming, took time. It does. There's a part of it that happens instantaneously, but it happens more so over a lifetime. He knew that in order to make this rabble-rouser crew that he was pulling together, his disciples, he had to shape them. Anybody ever felt like they needed to be shaped when you look at your life? They would not be made that way instantaneously. They would become disciples through their relationship and their experiences with him. Jesus knew that we're not just made disciples, we become one. Often many of us, I don't know, feel stuck. You ever felt stuck? Like you're just stuck in patterns of life, in maybe relationships and decisions, and you want to change, but it feels like you can't. Maybe you feel like you don't know how. We want to be transformed, but we feel stuck in our cocoons, not able to emerge to this new state that we've been called to. Satan wants us to believe that we can go no further, doesn't he? He wants us to believe that it's impossible for you to be transformed, that you should feel guilt and shame all the days of your life for what you've done. So he makes us feel guilty and worthless, and that the best thing that we can do is make the most out of what we have, where we are, and where we're going, because that's all you're going to get. You ever felt that way? But I want you to listen to this. That is a lie. It's a lie straight from the adversary to our advocate. He does not want us to move forward. And so he puts these illusions in front of us and wants us to believe them, and we buy into it. Guys, we're not stuck. Hear that. We are not stuck, but simply held up by fear. We desperately need to move our lives from a place of fear to a place of faith. Moving from fear to faith is part of our exit process from our spiritual metamorphic cocoons. Did you get all that? So as we're exiting from them, God is transforming our lives. He said to the Corinthians, he said this in 2 Corinthians, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections." Affections, okay. I like that because we're restricted by our own affections. Remember this, whatever you love most, you become. Whatever you love most, you become. And so that can hinder you or it can help you. So if our affections are toward the things of this world and the lies that it tells us, then we feel restricted and constrained to move forward. But when we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength, then we are set free by his love. And then we're able to live openly and freely. Remember this, if the Son sets you free, you are what? Free indeed. Why do we live like slaves? I like this passage from 2 Corinthians. Eugene Peterson puts it, I love the way he puts it in the Message. He says this, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Man, family, we need to live openly and expansively in our lives for Christ. Any smallness we feel is something we've placed upon ourselves. It has not been placed there by God. It's time for us to stop making excuses for why we don't live for Christ. And guys, I've heard a lot of them. I've said a lot of them. Maybe things like this. Well, if the elders would just, if the church would offer more, if the sermons would inspire me more, if the classes would teach us better, if the leadership would just lead us in the right direction. Sorry, it's just not my personality. Woo, I'm going to stop on that one. That one excuse gets me the most. We can use our personality for an excuse for not growing and living in Christ. Let me see if you've heard some of these. I've had people say to me that it just isn't their personality to sit in a Bible class and learn. They need to be doing something and learn in order to learn and grow. But then they'll go out and sit and talk instead of go and sit and learn. I've had people say that it just isn't their personality to share their faith. After all, aren't there those who are gifted in that? I've had people say that it just isn't their personality to go on a mission trip. You know, I've had to be around people and work with them. You know I'm an introvert. Then on the other hand, I've had people say it just isn't their personality to disciple people. You know that deep one-on-one conversations. You know I'm an extrovert. Brothers and sisters, our personalities are a part of who we are, but they don't dictate who we are becoming. You do. It's time for us to stop making excuses based on the limitations of our personalities and start releasing the Spirit within us to develop, shape, and forge our character. Most of us believe we're simply a result of our personality and decide there's little we can do to change it. Sorry, that's just who I am. Well, who you are may not be who you were meant to be. Are you satisfied with that? I'm not. I want to be who He wants me to be, not just be left to the vices of my personality. But it's much deeper than a personality, isn't it? Who we are is a reflection of our character within. So, are we satisfied with a shallow personality, or do we want to build deep character? Paul told this, and Khalil did such a great job reading this. Let's look at it again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you believe that? Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. I am standing in grace. I'm a product of God's grace. How cool is that? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Uh-oh, what'd Khalil say? That's our feelings of being stuck. No place to go. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces what? Character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Praise God. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us that gift. Character is more profound than our personalities. We can inherit a lot of our personalities, but character is forged. It's built. And you know how it's built and forged? Y'all ready? Suffering. Struggle. We often want to bypass suffering and struggle, don't we? Is there an easier way to this? We want and hope that somehow, some way, we can avoid our suffering and just kind of live at ease. But our suffering, our struggles, they're necessary. Necessary. Without them, we never really become who we're meant to be. I remember the story of a man who was confined to bed because of a lingering illness. He saw, as he was sitting in his bed, he saw this cocoon on his windowsill. And it was a cocoon of a beautiful species of butterfly. As nature took its course, the butterfly began to do its work. It began to struggle its way out of the cocoon, from caterpillar to butterfly. But he noticed it was just this long, hard battle. And hours went by, and the insect seemed to make no headway, almost no progress at all. It seemed stuck. And so the man took a pair of scissors and snipped the opening just a little bit larger to help the butterfly get out. Then the butterfly crawled out, but it never did anything else but crawl. The stress of the struggle was intended to push colorful, life-giving juices into the wings as it emerged from the cocoon. But because the man cut this process short, the butterfly, who was meant to fly on rainbow wings through the sky in all its glory, was condemned to spend its brief life crawling in the dust. We're not meant to crawl. We're meant to fly. But to be able to fly, we have to go through some of these character-building struggles and let them shape us. We must endure them and learn from them. Endurance, or making it through the cocoon, produces our character. But we can definitely be stuck with our personalities and make excuses. When we allow the Spirit to produce the character of Christ in us, hear this, it produces hope. But when we sit stuck in our excuses, we have no hope. Hope does not put us to shame, nor make us feel stuck. Hope reminds us that God's love has been poured into our lives by the gift of the Spirit within us. I want the Spirit to produce character so that I'm filled with hope. Anybody else in here want that? I don't want to be stuck, and I don't want to keep on making excuses for why I can't or will not do something. My excuses are mine. And most of the time, excuses are just a reason for the lack of our perceived ability. But here's the important aspect of this process of this character development. It's deeply shaped by those we allow to influence and speak into our lives. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It's who we allow to speak into our lives, influence us, and shape and form us into the people we're becoming. And they speak to our character. By the way, good or bad. Remember what Paul said. Evil companionship does what? It corrupts good character. When you surround yourself around it, your character will be shaped by it. Who are we allowing to influence our lives and shape that character? We need to allow the right people in our lives to assist us in that shaping, in that becoming. Think about this. As Jesus traveled, he spent time trying to breathe into his disciples and help shape their character. One of these powerful moments is when he went up, and you can kind of notice it as you look at our graphic. He went up on a mountain. Y'all remember that? And in that talk with them, he wanted to begin to teach his disciples the principles of living and advancing his kingdom. Notice this on the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says this. Seeing the crowds, so he's surrounded by all these crowds around him that have been following him. He went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. You see, Jesus was speaking to the disciples at this point. This sermon was for them to hear. The crowd stayed down. They came up. Disciples are those who have made a commitment to Christ as their Lord, Savior, and God. They want him to be ruler of their lives, everything. While crowds are those who are curious and often astounded by the Jesus' teaching and miracles, but for the most part, the crowds remain neutral and uncommitted in their lives. Which are you? Which am I? Am I satisfied with the teachings and miracles of Jesus and allow myself to be astounded by them momentarily from time to time? Or am I someone that wants to be transformed by what he calls me to do and to be? Disciples are more concerned with the development of their character, while the crowd is satisfied with their personality. In the coming months, we're going to spend time digging into the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to dig, you guys. It's three chapters full of meat. Amen? There's so much in there. And we're going to dig into them bit by bit, piece by piece, because in there, God reveals the principles of kingdom living, of advancing the kingdom. And here's a challenge we're going to give to you. Y'all ready? It's a year that we're going to spend on this. We want us all to memorize it. Can we do it? Three chapters in the book of Matthew, 5, 6, and 7. Can we do it? Let's commit this year to put this sermon to heart, because you cannot memorize it and not be changed by it. And so we're digging in next week. Robin's going to kick us off, and we're actually going to start with the end in mind. And he's going to talk about what the foundation of the kingdom is. Okay? So that's starting next week. But more than simply discussing beliefs about this sermon or seeing how we can activate our behaviors, we want to learn how to become. So who are you becoming? Who are you allowing to influence and the development of your character? Remember last week I asked you guys to pull out your phones and I asked you to do something, didn't I? Y'all remember this? You're supposed to pull out your phone or write on a piece of paper one person in your life that you want to speak the love of God into. Remember that? And you're supposed to put it into a reminder, okay? So it'll pop up on a daily basis so that you're trying to speak into that person's life in whatever way, shape, or form, whether it was praying for them or calling them up, talking with them, chatting with them, whatever it might be, that you began to speak into their life and you were reminded about it daily. So now I want you to pull your phones out again. Pull them out. Come on. Got another thing. And pull up that reminder with that person's name. Because you're going to write something in parentheses after their name. All right, everybody ready? So you got that up. You pulled up the reminder. After the person's name that pops up every day, I want you to write down next to that person's name in parentheses one fear or excuse that has kept you from becoming who God wants you to be. I want you to name it. Expose it. What is that fear or excuse? And you might need to write a few more than one if you're like me. Because here's the deal. More than likely, that fear, that excuse is keeping you from speaking into that person's life. And so when their name pops up for you to remember to speak into their life, I want you to also remember the fear and the excuse that might keep you from doing it. And I want you to throw it out like trash. Because that's what it is. When it pops up and you speak in there, remind yourself of that excuse, but don't let it get you stuck. Instead, allow your faith to overcome it, because your faith makes you overcomers. Can we do that? Everybody got it down now? And if you said, well, I'll remember to do it later, will you? Will you? If you're like me, you won't. I'm really bad at that. So considering these last 3 weeks, what is it that you're seeking from the kingdom of God? Shallow beliefs or deep faith? Shallow behaviors or deep love? Shallow personality or deep character? Those choices will determine what you're doing, whether sitting in a seat in this room is sufficient or it isn't enough. And you're ready to get up and get out. Are we living wide open, spacious lives, or are we stuck in our excuses held by fear? Are we connecting with the family of God so they can help us and walk alongside us as the Spirit comes in and transforms our character? Our prayer as we advance the kingdom here is that we all commit to deep faith, deep love, deep character, so that we can be freed and empowered to live a kingdom life. Does anybody else want that? I know I do. What are we becoming? Watch this.
We have a role to play within a greater story, to follow in the footsteps of a supreme character. And in this story, the heart holds a magnificent power to lead us forward. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The undeniable truth is, whatever you love most, you become like. And that's why the Master gave us the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He knew that loving God above everything else would be the single most transforming influence in your life. Jesus' love for the Heavenly Father ignited his passion for a deeper relationship, one that is a living communion, an example for us to live by. Yet becoming like Christ is neither instant nor automatic. True transformation takes sacrificing what you are today for what you will become tomorrow. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more you will love him. The more you love him, the more you will become like him. In his image, in his likeness, in his ways. When you walk as Jesus walked, when you live as Jesus lived, loving God first, you ignite a deep and radical transformation empowered by the Holy Spirit. So become more aware of what holds your heart. Become more aware of the Spirit within. And turn and say like the psalmist, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God." And in that, you'll begin a metamorphosis, a change from the inside out, to become a different sort of person altogether, to become the person you're created to be.
One statement in particular stands out in that transformation requires sacrificing what we are today for what we will become tomorrow. So I'm asking you guys, I'm asking myself, let's sacrifice today for what we will become tomorrow. If something hits you today and you're ready for transformation like that described, and you're ready to come out of the cocoon and release the power of the Spirit within you, and you want the prayers and the encouragement of your family, this morning as we stand and sing, it's an opportunity to come and ask for that. Ask for it. Maybe you need to come up here and in front of people, name your excuses and fears. Maybe you need to come for the very first time ever in your life and commit your life to Jesus Christ. Whatever it may be, you can come now as we stand and sing.